Welcome to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. The Quijac District is shutting down for two tides in an effort to push up the escapement in face of warm water temperatures. Igigik's cumulative harvest has passed 1 million fish, and port molar indices are dramatically different across the transect. It's Friday, June 28th. I'm your host, Alex Hager. Coming up tonight, we talk with Eastside Management Biologist Travis Ellison, who says unseasonably warm weather could impact fishing in July.
We get towards the middle of the month and we're still not making it, we're gonna have to do something.
The end of the public comment period for Pebble Mine's draft environmental review is in just a few days. KDLG's Izzy Ross talked with Pebble CEO Tom Collier about changes to the company's permit application.
Most of this is finalizing within the parameters that we have already disclosed to the Corps of Engineers and that are reflected in the DIS.
And we break down the latest numbers from the port molar test fishery. Those stories and more after this.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
Let's get today's show started with the numbers. On the west side, yesterday's harvest in the Nooshigak District included 430,000 sockeye salmon, bringing the cumulative to 2.8 million. The catch also had 971 king salmon for a cumulative of 13,000. Wood River escapement was 9,000 at 6 a.m. this morning. Yesterday's total was 38,000, part of a cumulative of 478,000. Nooshigak sockeye escapement was 11,000 yesterday for a season total of 196,000. Chinook escapement was 425 yesterday, totaling 31,400 so far. On the east side, escapement in the Naknek River was 52,900 yesterday, part of a 211,000 cumulative. Quijac escapement was 3,100 for a cumulative of 10,100. The Quijac in-river estimate is 5,000. Harvest in the Naknek Quijac is 100,000 for a cumulative of 350,000. And in Igigik, yesterday's catch was 333,000, pushing the cumulative up over a million to 1.25 million. Escapement in the district was 83,800 yesterday, making for a season total escapement of 359,000. Turning to vessel registration numbers now, we're still seeing an uptick in Igigik. That district had 408 permits at 9 a.m. today, and it'll have 445 for Sunday at 9 a.m. The vessel count in Igigik will also go up from 320 to 343 in 48 hours, and Igigik will also go from 88 D-boats to 102. Some slight increases in the Naknek Quijac, with vessels going from 329 to 335, and permits going from 278 to 283 on Sunday morning. It'll pick up one D-boat, too, going from 51 to 52. And some bumps to the numbers in the Ugashik as well. There are 31 vessels today, but 44 by Sunday morning. The vessel count there will go up from 25 to 36, and the number of D-boats from 6 to 8. On the west side, some small increases in the Nooshigak District. There were 826 permits this morning, and there will be 830 for Sunday morning. The Nooshigak picks up three vessels as well, going from 630 to 633 in 48 hours, also adding a single D-boat to go from 196 to 197. And finally, no changes in Togiak, 32 vessels and 32 permits all weekend, still no D-boats. At the Chignik Weir, total escapement yesterday was 4,800. Their total now is 148,700. Over on the South Peninsula, Area M has a total sockeye harvest of 597,000. The pink harvest there is now at 8 million. On the North Peninsula, Area M's harvest is 255,000. And to round out the numbers now, let's take a look at the latest from Port Molar with yesterday's catch update. Station 2 caught 3 fish in the 4.5-inch mesh and just 1 in the 5 1/8-inch mesh for a catch index of 10. Station 4 caught 4 in the 4.5 and got 2 in the 5 1/8, making the catch index 14. Station 6 had just 1 in the 4.5 and 3 in the 5 1/8 for a catch index of 9. Station 8 got only 1 in the 4.5 and 0 in the 5 1/8 for a catch index of 2. Station 10 had 1 in the 4.5 and 2 in the 5 1/8, putting the catch index at 7. Station 12 got 7 in the 4.5 and 0 in the 5 1/8, making the catch index 18. Station 14 got 5 fish in the 4.5 and 24 in the 5 1/8 for a catch index of 53. Station 16 got 13 fish in the 4.5 and 21 in the 5 1/8 for a catch index of 82. Station 18 had 23 in the 4.5 and 49 in the 5 1/8, making the catch index 139. Station 20 got 7 in the 4.5 and 10 in the 5 1/8, putting the catch index at 43. And finally, Station 22 had 10 in the 4.5 and 14 in the 5 1/8, making that catch index 55. You might have noticed that yesterday's catch distribution at Port Moeller skewed pretty strongly toward the outer stations. Scott Rayborn, an analyst at the test fishery, says he's got two theories for why that might be the case. The first is that strong winds over the past 3 days may be pushing fish towards the inner stations, and the second is that there could be a lull in east side fish passing inshore and a surge in west side fish passing further offshore. We'll have more analysis of the Port Moeller numbers with Rayborn himself coming up later in the show. We're going to take a quick break now, and we'll be back with the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report in just a moment.
Programming support for KDLG comes from listeners like you and from Nomar, serving Bristol Bay for 40 years with the gear fishermen need. Online at nomaralaska.com.
We're back with the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on this Thursday evening. The Naknek is on track for escapement, but the Kwijak is lagging, part of a pattern that's been emerging over the past few years. KDLG's Sage Smiley talked to management biologist Travis Ellison about how unseasonably warm weather could impact fishing in July.
How are things looking in Naknek Kwijak?
Well, we're looking better than we have in recent years. The Naknek River's off to a good start. We're hitting escapements between 20,000 and 50,000 a day, which is good number for this time of year for the Naknek, and right now we're about 3 days ahead of escapable curve, so that's good. And we've been offering a lot of fishing time, doing it a little differently than we have in recent past. Part of that is all the management decisions up until this morning were based on Naknek fish, because Kwijak has a later run timing and hasn't been around. Although it looks like yesterday it did start to show up in the district, Kwijak set netters actually outfished the Naknek set netters. So it's time to start thinking about the Kwijak. The Naknek's good, so I expect to keep fishing there probably every tide. And we don't have many boats here. You know, it makes it hard to slow the run down if the Naknek does pop up real big all of a sudden. By opening the Kwijak section and doing these long openers, it just kind of gives the drifters a better chance at getting at those Naknek fish. The Kwijak is starting to look late again, like it's been every year since 2015. So we're starting to get used to that. Definitely factor that into our management decisions. Right now, we're going to take two tides off and close the Kwijak section for drift and set. And it's hopefully timed well enough to get a shot of Kwijak fish through that Port Moeller detected a week ago. It's going to take a little bit of luck for that to work, but we're going to give it a shot and hopefully we get some good numbers up and help us, you know, kind of stay closer on track with that escapement goal curve. Right now, Kwijak run hasn't gotten into the Kwijak River to assess and compare to other years other than when is it starting. It wasn't long ago we waited till July 1st to start fishing, and we're already fishing and things are doing good. We got some fish moving to the Kwijak detected by the test fish this morning. I'm expecting them to detect more fish based on commercial catches yesterday. So hopefully we can get that thing going. But it could be after 4th of July till that run really, really gets rolling. It'll be nerve-wracking for everybody, I'm sure, including myself, waiting for it, wondering. But like I said, we're kind of starting to get a little more used to that. The other things we have going on is, you know, crazy hot weather out here. And that seems to affect things. We're getting warm water temperature. We're hitting, you know, in the Naknek River, 60 or almost 63 degrees Fahrenheit. I haven't had any reports from the bay right now, but I know it was in the upper 50s a couple days ago. I heard 57, 58 degrees the other day. We saw a similar situation in 2016 where we had big Port Moeller indices and we weren't seeing the fish in the districts. We had similar weather where it was very hot. That was the year we had a lot of tundra fires. You know, the water got, it was like 60 degrees in Kwijak Bay, and we finally got a storm and some rain, everything cooled off, and you know, then we got hit by a huge rush of fish. So it's starting to look like that. Just keep an eye on it and hope for some more Bristol Bay-like weather in the near future, but I haven't seen it in the forecast yet.
You said escapement is on track right now. Is the catch on track as well?
Looking at our total run, we're about 2 days behind. That's for all rivers, including catch and escapement. So yeah, the Naknek being ahead of escapement doesn't mean it's an early run necessarily. It could still be on the later run timing track. I mean, that's related to the weather again. You know, with the warm water, very little wind, and bright sunny skies, you know, the fish tend to swim deeper, tend to be more lethargic. And, you know, we're getting reports from our assessment projects and from fishermen out in the districts that they're seeing poor condition fish. Some of them starting to turn blush, and, you know, are at the early part of the run, they shouldn't be blush yet. But I think that's all a factor of the weather, the water temperature, and the sunlight. Keep hearing fishing's terrible out there, but we keep getting escapement. So the way it works is if we have escapement, we'll provide the opportunity to harvest what is there or what can be caught.
What kind of a thing would cause you to bring fishing in to the river right now?
I'm going to need to see the weather change, and, you know, we'll start thinking about that more like towards the end of what would be our typical active management, which would be, you know, more like the week of July 10th. And the nice thing about where we're at with the Kwijak is we have been meeting escapement goals for a long time now. Don't have a chronic problem or anything. And since salmon come back at multiple age classes, you know, if we missed it 1 year, it wouldn't be the end of the world. Not that we're going to do that on purpose, but we can take a little bit more of a risk and, you know, wait longer before we have to make a dramatic action like going in river. But if we get towards the middle of the month and we're still not making it, we're gonna have to do something. Hopefully it doesn't come to that. And that's one of the reasons we're closed the next few tides there, is to just try to reduce that risk.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Sage.
We're currently in the last few days of the public comment period for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers draft environmental review of the proposed pebble mine. The last day to submit comments is Monday, July 1st. KDLG's Izzy Ross spoke with Pebble Partnership CEO Tom Collier this afternoon, and she's joining us now to break down some of the highlights from that call. Izzy, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, you bet.
So what were your big takeaways from that conversation today?
Yeah, one of them was that there will be some developments to Pebble's permit application in the next few months. Collier's examples were finalizing detailed measurements for where the transportation access road would go, possible placements for piers, and where the pipeline corridor will be. Here's what Collier said about that.
Most of this is finalizing within the parameters that we have already disclosed to the Corps of Engineers and that are reflected in the DIS. This is just small refinements, not changes, but refinements. Usually when you identify right-of-way corridors, you identify something that is a bit broader than you need, and as you get closer, you can shrink the size down a bit.
He also said they expected some additional requests for information from the Army Corps, which Pebble will respond to after the public comment period closes. Of course, some critics of the project are frustrated that there won't be any time for the public to weigh in on those changes. Here's how Collier responded to that.
I don't think that there are a lot of people that are frustrated with the issues you raised. I think there are certainly a number that are in the Dillingham area. But you know, the closer you get to this mine, the closer you get up toward the lake region, there are a lot of people in support of this project, and they're not frustrated by any of this.
Collier reiterated that the original 90-day comment period was in what he called the sweet spot, more than the minimum of 45 days, but less than the 270 days that some were calling for. And that's something we've heard Pebble and the Army Corps say in the past. We also talked about how realistic some of the Army Corps' alternatives are, given potential land access roadblocks. Pebble struck a deal with the Alaska Peninsula Corporation last November, and another with Iliamna Natives Limited in May. However, Pedro Bay and Igiagic, two communities that own land included in alternatives to Pebble's proposal, have not granted permission for their lands to be used.
And I would suggest to you that I think it's highly likely that the Corps will not find a transportation corridor route to be practicable if, in fact, we don't have a right-of-way agreement that would allow it to be used. So my strong expectation is that the Corps will not choose a transportation corridor where we don't already have a potential right-of-way agreement in place.
That, of course, begs the question of why the Army Corps' alternatives to Pebble's proposal that are on Pedro Bay and Igiagic lands are included in the draft. The Army Corps has said in the past that because they have not received a formal letter or statement addressed to the Corps from those corporations, they still consider those alternatives to be feasible.
Now, even if the Pebble project does get the necessary permits, there's still the question of whether or not it has the capital to go ahead with its plans.
Yeah, Pebble hasn't released a preliminary economic assessment. Collier said they would release one at some point, but he didn't have a time frame for when they would release one. I asked him about the calls for an assessment, and he said that's neither here nor there.
I believe that the people that are raising this concern, that are saying that the project may not be financially feasible, are really raising a red herring argument. If the project is not financially feasible, it won't be built. It's really that simple.
Another foreseeable roadblock is the subsurface ownership. Bristol Bay Native Corporation owns the subsurface rights to much of the land in that area, and it has maintained that it wouldn't give Pebble permission to use its lands. So that situation might end up in court in the future.
And we'll have more on the end of the comment period at the beginning of next week. Izzy, thank you so much.
Thanks.
Catch indices at Port Moeller varied widely across the transect from Station 8's index of 2 to Station 18's index of 139. Analyst Scott Rayborn says this is unusual.
We didn't expect numbers to drop off between Stations 2 through 10 relative to 12 through 24. As much as they did yesterday.
It also provides more insight into how some of the counts from past seasons didn't give an accurate prediction of the run. Rayborn pointed to 2016, when there was a dramatic drop-off in the catch index for June 28th and 29th.
Then you look to see what happened with catch and escapement, and it just doesn't translate. You don't see that dramatic drop in catch and escapement, you know, any time later that year. And so it sort of mimics what happened yesterday with the 2 through 10 index. And so I don't think in that year that drop-off was reflective of the true run magnitude past Port Moeller. I think it was a false signal, and it was because we weren't fishing far enough out on the transect to capture the bulk of the run on that day.
According to Rayborn, the 2 through 10 index has worked well in previous years like 2011 and 2013, where the inshore catch escapement mimicked Port Moeller catch indices.
If you look at it for 2012, the pattern at Port Moeller doesn't look anything like what the inshore catch escapement does in 2012. And that's probably because we missed a lot of fish offshore.
Rayborn says the test fishery's first run projection should come out this weekend. That just about does it for tonight's show. If you have suggestions or corrections for the fish report, we would love to hear from you. Please let us know by sending an email to fish@kdlg or giving us a call at 842-5281. In the Bristol Bay Marine Weather Forecast, tonight there's a west wind of 15 knots and seas at 2 feet with patchy fog. Tomorrow you'll see a west wind of 20 knots with seas at 3 feet and patchy fog. We've got three messages to the fleet on tonight's show. The first one is a sweet one to Lawrence Sorensen on the fishing vessel Rame. From his wife in Dillingham, happy anniversary, we did it another 10, and I love you. Our second message is out to Captain Doug Morgan on the fishing vessel Miss Emma from the Oracle. Just heard back from insurance and it's not covered. You'll just have to learn to live with a third areola. I know a tattoo guy that can make it look like a sunflower. Let me know. And our last message to the fleet, this one is from the crew of the Lindsay. To the kindred spirit ladies, Uncle Bob says if you find the fuchsia scarf, please respond with one ping only. The guy down at the hardware store says he can send more parts if needed. Also, boxers or briefs. And it includes a riddle for the fleet. Where do fish keep their money? There will be an answer to that one in tomorrow's show. And if you'd like to get your message out to the fleet on this show or request a fishing song, send us an email. That's at fish@kdlg.org, or you can give us a call at 842-5281. The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible by the generous support of our underwriters and individual contributions from you, the fishing fleet. And for our fishing song today, we've got Disciples by Tame Impala for the crew of the Lila L. I'm Alex Hager. Good night, good fishing, and see you back here tomorrow. 'Cause I was